I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4, reading from verse 13. And it's a section headed, The Coming of the Lord. So page 1188, page 1188, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, starting to read at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The very last verse of Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. You know the words, don't you? With no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. That's here. I'm going to speak today for a few minutes on the return of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, why speak about the return of Jesus Christ? We're just kind of gearing ourselves up towards Christmas, the coming of Jesus. And yet, the coming of Jesus, it happened in history. In a small town called Bethlehem, to a young couple who probably weren't entirely sure what was going on or the significance of what was happening. There were those around who were either informed or who caught on to what was happening, and they realized that this was something to be noted. But it was something that has happened in history. And it is something that we celebrate at Christmas. And yet today, as we think about the return of Jesus, we look towards another event that is yet to happen in history. And just as the coming of Jesus to Bethlehem was an event that was recorded as taking place on a particular day in history, so the coming or the return of Jesus Christ will be a day in history, a particular date that will be recorded when we will be able to say everything changed on that day. And some of the words that we have already read, according to the Lord's own word. Now, isn't that interesting? According to the Lord's own word. That's what the Apostle Paul could write. That's what his confidence was based on, about this idea, this concept, this thought, this dream, this vision that Jesus would one day return. He's able to say, this is not my idea. This is not something I would hope for, because do you know what? I'm really struggling right now. I'm suffering. Every time I speak about Jesus, I'm arrested and thrown in prison and, oh man. Now, he's able to say, according to the Lord's own words. We tell you that those who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. And it's really a discussion about what happens to those who are already dead when Jesus returns. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, the return of Jesus Christ, what does it matter Does it really make any difference to the way we live our lives today? And if it does matter, what should we do about it? And how should we live today as a result? The return of Jesus Christ, I emphasize, is an event that will take place within history. It will be notable, and we need to ready ourselves for it. But I want to really kick off by going back to the beginning. Very first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we are to understand the return of Jesus Christ, it seems to me we need to understand the beginning of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How was it created? I don't know. Some people say God spoke, and as he spoke, literally, things, physical things, came out of the spiritual and appeared. Other people say, don't be so daft. God started with a spark, with the seed, with an idea, with a thought, and out of that, evolution began. And the world as we know it came into being. How did it happen? I don't know. I'm often asked by children in school, by young people, what do you think? Evolution or creation? And what's my answer? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do I know how it happened? No. Do you know how it happened? No. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is significant when we think about the return of Jesus, is because when we say that God created the world, we have to say that God is the rightful king of the world. He's the rightful Lord. He's the rightful, he's the one who has right authority over the world. Because he created it. It is his. Doesn't belong to anybody else. Anybody else who lays claim upon any part of the world, it is only a temporary claim, because the world and everything in it belongs to God. So we begin at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we also know, we're aware so painfully, that sin and broken relationship upset what God has set in place. And we can trace the story from Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through to Genesis 11, the way in which God intervened with humanity time after time, and time after time, having been reconciled to God, humanity turned away from God. And then they were reconciled, and then they turned away again. And this story continues through those first 11 chapters of Genesis. And when we get to Genesis 12, we have the blessing that is given to Abraham. It's as if God wants to do things again, afresh, anew, in a different way. And he speaks to this man, Abraham, and says, I will bless you. And you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And having, as it were, tried to establish relationship with that which he created, and creation has turned away from God, there is this new beginning with Abraham, and the possibility of a new relationship, the possibility of the Creator and creation being together again. So we begin at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The world belongs to God, but creation turns away from God, with Abraham in Genesis 12. And the story moving on from Abraham is a story about relationship again with the Creator God. But note what it says. I will bless you, and you'll be a blessing. And then it's as if God is saying, well, this is not just for you. This is what all of history is about. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God is seeking to establish this relationship, Creator and creation, father and children. Many peoples will come, says Isaiah, will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we might walk in his paths. And there is this new vision that the prophets begin to catch on to. And they understand that, yes, humanity has turned away from God time and time again, but God in his mercy and his love, as a good creator, as a wonderful, kind father, always calling creation back to himself. The prophets grab hold of this vision that one day, not just the family of Abraham, but one day all nations will come and say, let's go and talk to God. He's the one who can give us wisdom. He's the one who can show us how to live. There is our true home when we find God. Let's go and consult him. Let's go together in relationship to have this relationship with the one who created us. And Isaiah, of course, is a wonderful book that speaks of this new relationship and this passionate vision that things that are not at present might one day be true. And it's as if Isaiah sees them already. And it's almost as if he can't quite understand why nobody else sees it. But he expresses this joy and passion that one day, not just Abraham's family, but all nations might come to God. Understanding that innate desire in all of our hearts to know God and to be known by him. So there is this journey, there is this understanding we have. As we look and reflect upon the return of Jesus, we go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God owns all of creation. God owns all of creation, but creation had turned away from God. But with Abraham, God began a new relationship, something new, a new community. And then the prophets catch hold of this and say, it's not just for Abraham, but it's for all nations. All nations will come and be reconciled. All nations will know that God is their creator and their father. And the Apostle Paul can write in 2 Corinthians this confidence that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. So that even the work of Jesus, when we think about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, there is this continuing, ongoing work of reconciliation, bringing back together what was always intended to be together. Creator and creation, father and children, God and humanity, living together in relationship. Earlier we read from Colossians chapter 1. And the very powerful statement there, that every knee will bow before him and everything will be gathered together in all of creation, will be gathered together under Jesus. And that is the biblical vision. That's what the Bible is about. It's not just about us in 2008, in the 21st century, about us knowing God. The biblical story, God's story, is about the reconciliation of all things back to God. And we note that even as Jesus lived, died, and was raised from death, God was at work reconciling, bringing back together, healing wounds, sorting out differences, forgiving sin, doing all that had to be done that two parties might come back together. Demonstrating in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that there is a greater power than death. That even death cannot separate us from the love and the life of God. So there is this process. There is this story. There is this journey that the Bible invites us to go on to understand that we belong to God. All of creation belongs to God. We can think even now of our neighbours and our friends, those that we work with, those that we know, those that we are friends with and those that we are not friends with. And we can think of them and understand that God created them. And they belong to God. And when Jesus died on the cross, God was buying them back. He was paying a price for them that they might be reconciled to him. Now, cut back to where we began. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that those who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And just to say at this point that it may be that we have an idea that the return of Christ is about the rescue, I suppose, the rescue of Christians away from the earth. That there will be, at the return of Christ, there will be what people might call the rapture. And we will be taken up from the earth and taken away to a heavenly place. And the earth, which is essentially evil and bad, will be left. And I've probably said before, I remember seeing a film when I was young called Thief in the Night. And I remember going home petrified that I would be left behind. That Jesus would come and all the good people, the Christians, would be raptured and I'd be left. Part of the point of telling you God's story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God seeking reconciliation in Abraham, all nations, the prophet grasped hold of that, working in Jesus for reconciliation, all of creation back with God, is to remind us that Christians are not going to be raptured away from the world and to go to some heavenly paradise, but Jesus returns in order to be king of this earth. The very first slide. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the rightful king of the earth. It is his. And with the return of Christ, he comes to claim that which belongs to him. And Jesus returns as king to this earth. And you say, well, what about all the bad stuff here? Yeah. Doesn't God take us? What does he do with us? Well, he redeems us. He forgives us. He renews us. The Bible says we are a new creation when we're in God. And is that not what God will do with the earth and with all creation? He will renew and redeem and make us new. And the vision of John in Revelation is, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God will take that which he's created and he will make it as new. So Jesus will return as king. Jesus will return as king, and that's his rightful place. Now we're told in the passage that I had up just a moment ago from 1 Thessalonians that the dead will be raised. And when we speak about the resurrection of the dead, this is what we are looking to. We are looking to that day when those who are already dead, and those of us who die between now and then, when Jesus returns, the dead will be raised. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead. Physical yet spiritual. The same and yet somehow different. Recognizable. Just. We will be raised in that same way. Physical yet spiritual. We will know who we are and we will recognize those around us. We will know who they are, just as the disciples recognized Jesus. But the dead will be raised. And what will then take place? What will then take place is judgment. Judgment will then take place. Jesus will return. What we commonly know as the rapture that I mentioned a few moments ago, I think is a misinterpretation of what the scripture says about us being us meeting him as he comes. Well, you only have to think about Palm Sunday to understand the picture of what is going to happen when Jesus returns. Palm Sunday. Jesus approaches Jerusalem with a crowd. And those in the city of Jerusalem, when they see and hear the news that the king is coming, what do they do? What do they do? They rush out. And they meet Jesus coming on Palm Sunday. And what do they then do? Do they then turn Jesus around and say, no, you don't want to go there. We want to go somewhere else. No, they rush out, acknowledge that he's the king, and welcome him back into the city. And that's what the rapture's about. That's us meeting him in the air, going out, meeting him, welcoming the king here. But the dead will be raised. We will meet him. And then there will be judgment. There will be judgment of all the righteous dead will be raised. And the unrighteous dead will be raised. And there will be judgment. There will be judgment on each one of us according to what we have done. And you say, well, why is it what a judgment on what we have done? Why not about what we have said? Because what we do is a true reflection of who we are. What we do is a true reflection of who we are. And the righteous will be judged according to what they've done. And the unrighteous, likewise, will be judged according to what they have done. And we will be sent to heaven, to hell. Heaven will be on this earth with King Jesus. Jesus' kingdom will be established on this earth, a kingdom of kindness, of mercy, of love, of generosity. You say, well, what will this kingdom be like? Well, it'll be just that, kindness, mercy, love, generosity. Look at the life of Jesus when he was on the earth. See how he dealt with people, see how he met people, how he forgave. He was merciful, loving and kind, receiving, how he blessed and was good. That is the kingdom of Jesus. When Jesus comes to reign as king on the earth, that is how his kingdom will be. Well, if all that is true, what should we do? Well, the first thing I think is perhaps quite obvious. It is about reconciliation. The whole of God's story is about reconciliation. It doesn't end at the cross, but it anticipates reconciliation in the return of Jesus. So what should we do? Well, get to know God. Get to know God. You know, I love the words of Paul. You know, now we know in parts, then we shall know face to face. And you know, I don't know about you, but I often feel that that resonates so powerfully with me. I scratch my head and I think, oh man, I just don't understand. I just don't get it. There's so many questions I have. And then I remember the words of Paul and go, now I know in part. And wasn't it Paul who in 1 Corinthians 13 said it's like looking through a glass darkly, looking through a blackened glass. And when I think of that, I think not of stained glass, but of if you've ever had a candle and you've put glass over a candle and, you know, it just blackens. Remember that in the 70s when there were the blackouts and having to have candles everywhere. Wherever we put the candles, there was this black above. And it's like holding that piece of glass and trying to look through it and thinking, well, I can kind of see, but not very well. I can kind of see, but, oh boy, if only I could take this glass away and see clearly. And there is that anticipation that one day we shall see him face to face. One day we will know him as he is to be known. What should we do now? But don't wait until then to find out what God is like. Get to know him now. Read your Bible. Pray. Meditate. Take time to reflect upon the works of Jesus and the life of Jesus. And ask God to fill you with his Spirit and just let the life of God fill you. To challenge you. To encourage you. To strengthen you. To move you from where you are to a new place with God. Reconciliation. Reconciliation with God, but also reconciliation with others. Seek to live in peace with others. Seek to live in peace with others. Now, I know, as much as you know, that some people do not want to live in peace with you. Now, I recognize some of the things I've done have been so awful. Haven't they? Have they? What do you know? Some of the things I've done have been so bad, you know, maybe it's not surprising that people don't want to seek peace with me. Because they know how bad I am. But God's story is that of reconciliation. Therefore, we have to apply our minds and our hearts. How do I seek reconciliation? Having an open heart. An open heart to others. And it may take years and years, generations. It may never happen for some of us. But we seek to live in peace with others. So what should we do? Reconciliation. The second thing is kindness. Kindness. What should we do? Live in kindness. Well, more than that, I suppose, live the life of Jesus' kingdom now. Live the life of Jesus' kingdom now. When Jesus speaks about judgment, in Matthew 25, he tells a story and says, on the day of judgment, when we all stand before God and he judges us, we will be like sheep and goats. And he will separate out the sheep from the goats. And he will say to those who are sheep, well done. Because when I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was homeless, you gave me somewhere to live. Well done. Because as you did it to these poor ones, so you did it to me. And all of those things in Matthew 25, they're acts of kindness. Reaching out to people. And the key principle, one of the key principles of the kingdom of Jesus is kindness. Just being kind to people. And that's something we can all do. Say, help me this week to be kind. Why? Because one day I want to live in the kingdom of Jesus when it comes. And I want to get in practice now. And I want to start to live now the way I'll live then. So, kindness. And the third thing, very simply, is be ready to tell others about God and your journey of faith. Be ready to tell others when they ask, why is it that you're kind? Oh, well, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready because I think one day it's going to be like this. And I want to get in practice. Be ready always to tell people the reason for the hope that you have within you. 1 Peter 3:15. And may God bless us today as we've reflected very simply on the return of Jesus. The return of Jesus is not something added on the end of God's story. It is part of God's story. It is God's story. It's about reconciliation. Creator and creation coming back together. Each one of us knowing God as he knows us. And being blessed as we respond to him. Let's just take a moment to pray God's blessing on us. Father, we pray that today you might, as it were, just light a new flame within our hearts, flame of hope within us, so that wherever we're at in terms of our lives, particularly our spiritual journeys, there might be a flicker of hope for us, that things one day will be different, and because one day they'll be different, might that difference then be present now? And to that end, we ask you, fill us with your Spirit, that we might know Emmanuel, God
with us today. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.